All right, I love this topic. I'm glad we're going to do this segment.
Yeah, it was Monday, and I was having my usual Veterans Day guilt. As I mentioned, Monday, I've had a family that's had a lot of military service. My dad, my grandfather, my brother, my father-in-law, uncles who've served our country. And I always think back and look at myself and think, well, I've done very little for this country as far as service goes. And Dale Hansen throughout his Veterans Day commentary, and I thought it was really thoughtful, and it made me reconsider something that we haven't really talked about in a long time on this show anyway.
Since this is Veterans Day in America, and since I am one of only a couple who work at Channel 8 now, this is my Veterans Day message. Every company in America used to employ veterans, but once they ended the draft in 73, that started to change. I think we should bring the draft back. It was the draft that got us out of Vietnam, and it is the lack of a draft that has kept us in Afghanistan and Iraq these past 18 years. We let the young men and women we don't know fight our battles now. I think an American draft would change America and change it for the better. It's easy to hate when you don't know the people you hate. But when you get out of your bubble like I did, you meet people of different races and religions, all parts of the country and the Caribbean too, your life changes. The Navy changed mine, and I'm a better man because it did. It's hard to hate the people you know. Now, I hated the Navy, hated every day of it, and I hated the draft the way it used to be. The rich kids became weekend warriors, or they got a doctor to say their foot hurt. But in my America, we all give back to what this great country, with all its flaws, has given us. And not just a military draft. Because I think everybody in America owes this country at least 1 year of public service and maybe two. You could work for the Parks Department, teach school in some of the poor neighborhoods, serve meals at a food bank, and if you do want to be a soldier, you can do that too. But we need to remind young Americans, like we do on this special day, they have the freedoms and the life they do because of those who pay the ultimate price. I'm not saying you have to be willing to pay that. I am saying you should have to pay something, and we will be a better country and better people when you do.
Boy, well said. And I think we all immediately think of military service that was instituted in World War I with the creation of the Selective Service Act. That's how we started drafting our military to bolster up our troops that would go overseas. Same thing in World War II. And we had some facsimile of the draft reinstituted in 48, and it stayed throughout Vietnam till 1973, and then it went away. And since then, we've all had to register, males have, at the age of 18. When you turn 18, you have to register, and you are at least eligible to be drafted.
I think it's females now too, right?
Is it females now?
I thought we had made that change.
Maybe so. I think it should be. But we all think of it in military terms, but I think Dale brings up a really good point. Yes, that is one option, but the other option is just some sort of service to your country for a year or two to serve your community, or maybe you're shipped out somewhere to serve somewhere else. And in this day where we can't agree and we can't get along, it's kind of a general statement, but about a lot of things, I think it would help solve that problem. I think it would help solve our infrastructure problem that we visit with Infrastructure Man about. I think it would re-energize the projects that we really need here, when from roads to bridges to whatever you want to throw out. That was most of it was built during last time we did this with the WPA back in the 1940s. I think it makes a lot of sense. We'll talk about the reality of it becoming a reality in a second, but man, it's a great idea that I think would benefit this country and benefit us as Americans in a lot of different ways.
You know, it wouldn't work out positively for everybody. There would be some people that would come out of the two-year service pretty messed up, you know, depending on whether or not they were deployed to some front line. But I've always thought in general, two-year service to your country, even 1 year, would be great for just about everybody, because it would instill a sense of discipline or work ethic, and everybody could probably use a little more of that. It would just instill a sense of patriotism. It would make you more appreciative for maybe life outside of service. Like Dale said, he hated every second in the Navy, but it made him a better person.
Looking back at it, he thought, well, there was value there.
And I remember one of the weirdest days of my life was when I went to the post office and had to register for Selective Service.
Yeah.
And I just remember leaving thinking, wow, I could be drafted. If something happens, I could be drafted and I could be sent to some crazy country, gun put in my hand. And it was kind of scary. But in peacetime, if you were still made to go serve in the Army for 2 years, you learn how to get up on time and make your bed and take orders and put in a good hard day's work. Not that a lot of people don't do all of that. A lot of people do, but it would be good for everybody, I think, to experience just that structure. And you're probably going to be physically and mentally at times pushed outside of your comfort zone, which I always think is great for everybody.
Sure.
Yeah, it makes you feel a part of this country if you actually served it. I think any time that you get put in the position of, I'm just a consumer of freedom rather than a person who also produces freedom by working towards the common good of a country, I think that you get a laziness and you have a lack of patriotism that comes with just not being involved in the process of maintaining a country.
Yeah. Did you guys?
At least that's true for me.
Did you feel that guilt? Have you felt that guilt through the years of, man, I probably should have signed up at some point in my life and done something?
I think every guy thinks about military service at some point in his life, even if it was just one thought that occurred to him when he was getting scared about which college he was going to try to go to.
Right.
Thought, well, what about the military?
Hey, as I was struggling through college, I thought about it as an option, thinking, man, maybe I really need this.
But you didn't do it.
I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And part of it was, I admit I was chicken.
I just always felt guilty every time I heard my grandfather's stories of the World War II service.
Yes.
Just thought about how soft I was, but how, man, I'd try to get out of that by every which way I could.
I considered it. You know, I like discipline and structure, so I thought I could have done all right. Like, I crave that. And so I thought about it, but I thought about college more, and I thought about going into whatever I love more, in this case, broadcasting. And it just seemed like a detour that, well, if I don't have to take it, I guess I'm not going to take it. But sure, I feel guilt when you see stories about soldiers losing their lives, and they're doing that to keep us safe and free. And you have to feel some guilt there. But mostly it's what would my life have been like had I chosen the service? I wouldn't be doing this right now.
Probably not, but you may have come back to it.
Would I have become a 4-star general? Very probably.
Probably not.
The only issue I have with Dale's commentary is that he says if we made everybody have 2 years of service, it wouldn't have to be military. You could go serve soup in a kitchen, or you could go build houses or whatever. If you gave everyone that option, wouldn't 95% of people say, okay, I'll go help the homeless instead of enter the Army?
Maybe. Yes, but that's okay. That's the idea, though.
You're still getting service.
Steering people into service. Yeah.
Yes, and how about the compromise in between those two of, that's fine, you can go work in a soup kitchen, but you're going to go through a 6 to 8 week training program.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to go through that military training.
Yeah.
For 6 to 8 weeks. And I saw an article. One problem they're having right now is they're finding that more and more men who may have signed up 10 years ago, and they look at the pool of young men, 18 to 20, and more they are not qualified. They're having to lower their standards, and partly because of physical fitness.
Mm-hmm.
That we've got more and more kids now from 18 to 20 that aren't physically fit enough, and they have to lower those standards and try to get those, you know, folks into shape after they get in.
What are the standards?
Thursday. I'm not sure what the physical standards are about height and weight, and then I guess there's some sort of maybe a test they put you through to see if you're capable of even going through basic training.
Well, there should be a fitness standard, and it always seems to me like the men and women should have to adhere to the same one, because I'm sure there's some men who can't qualify the same way there's some women who can't qualify if we set a standard of fitness.
Yeah.
But should there be a lower one for women than for men?
As far as physical strength, maybe, but the time and the mile run, no. I guess that's physical too.
Yeah, that should be. If you're going to lower it physically, you got to lower it across the board, right?
Yeah,
that's what I think. But I think there actually are different standards.
Well, what is the likelihood that you could get this passed? They've tried this. In fact, the National Service Act was run through Congress in 2003, 06, 07, 2010, 2013. Only one time did it get as far as a vote, and it got routed, like 400-2 against. If we couldn't do this and come together and think this is a good idea for all of our young people, and by the way, sometimes the selected pool was 18 to 55. You could even expand that if you wanted to, from 18 to 20 to 18 to 35 or 18 to 40. At some point, you had to serve at least a year or two. If we couldn't get this passed at shortly after 9/11, it's never going to pass.
Right.
It's never going to happen. And I think we all sit around and say, yeah, this is a good idea. But when we start thinking about our kids or our grandkids going through something like that, maybe we don't feel the same way about it. Or if you're still in that demographic, or they're going to stretch it into your 30s, you still have the same idea and say, well, yeah, it sounds good, but I don't know if I would want my congressman to vote for it.
Isn't that the number one reason why Americans won't vote for it, is because they don't like the idea of their children going off to war?
Yeah.
It's the number one idea, right? It is the reason it will never pass.
And even if it's the branches of we're going to serve the country and serve the greater good, it's still, well, this is just a way for the military to get more personnel and for their big war machines.
All right, I've got the physical requirements. This is what you have to do if you want to get into the Army. It's different. It's a little harder to be a Marine than Army, than Navy, and they've got slightly different standards. But age 17 to 21, if you're a male, you have to be able to do 35 push-ups, 47 sit-ups, and run 2 miles in 16 minutes and 36 seconds.
All of it easy.
The push-up thing, I think, would be hard for a lot of guys.
At 35, yeah. If you're a female, you only have to do 13 push-ups compared to 35. You have to do the same 47 sit-ups, and you have about 3 extra minutes to run the two-mile.
Okay.
If you're a little older, 22 to 26, male have to do 31 push-ups, females 11, sit-ups 43 and 43, two-mile runs 17, 34, the man 20, 36 for the woman.
See, and if you had national service along with it, then if you're not in great physical shape, you're taken as a project, and maybe you're not going to get sent overseas, but you're going to get in better shape, and for 2 years you're going to have responsibility, and you're going to go through military training that could do you a lot of good.
If you take the average male or female, if you gave them 2 months, they could pass this test. Average person, 2 months of training in the gym, running, you know, I think they would be able to pass that test.
I would think so.
So that's really disturbing that you're telling us that a lot of people can't pass it.
Mm. Yeah, that they're talking about lowering the standards just because they want a greater pool of applicants.
Mm.
That's scary. And the other thing is, if you had it to where it was military service or it was serving in some sort of way, wouldn't that be a great way to encourage young people to learn a trade, learn how to weld, learn how to, I don't know, some sort of skill that they could use for the rest of their life? And mm-hmm. then you always talk about, okay, what happens after your service? Well, in this case, you're going to, or maybe it is something, that's inside, like computer skills, computer hacking skills, whatever you want to call it. That sets you up for the rest of your life, more than just the discipline and what we would all get from military service.
It's a great idea. We should all serve in some way. And the fact that our country doesn't require us to serve, I think it's just amazing that we don't have this already.
Yeah.
That there isn't 2 years that everyone has to serve, like, at least once in their life. Probably, it should probably be a couple times in our life we should have to serve the country in some public way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But how are you going to take time out of your career to do that later on? I mean, they would, you'd have to get businesses on board with the fact that, hey, someone has to start their year or two of service here in the middle of their career.
The other thing is,
it'd be so great, though. You get to experience so many different things.
Yeah. I think it would be not only a hard sell on parents, I think for those getting out of high school, it'd be a hard sell on them. And for those who don't want to participate for religious or other reasons, still the same penalty as it was in Vietnam. You get thrown in jail. Or were you going to let that drop a little bit?
For how long do you get thrown in jail? A week?
I don't know. Year? I guess that's a year.
What was the old penalty?
I want to say it was like a year or something like that.
Like if you skipped out on Vietnam.
Yeah, I want to say it was at least several months. But I don't know. Once you put that penalty along with it, and then that's the downside of it, is some say, well, this is what the democracy is all about. We have the freedom to say, no, I don't want to volunteer. I don't want to be a part of that. I'll do that in my own time, and I don't need the government to tell me how I should serve my fellow man. Unfortunately, we've had so many take advantage of that. This is where we are now, that we don't do enough for our fellow man. We don't see enough of how other people live in other parts of the country or other parts of a city, and we do have this great divide. I think that may be the thing that would help more than anything, as divided as we all are now. I think this would really help that immensely. I think it would help that.
For sure. So I'm looking at a list of all the countries on earth that require compulsory military service.
We got 30, right?
I would say it's more than 30.
Hmm.
Yeah, do you have a different list?
I thought I had a list of 30, but go ahead.
Well, what my point was going to be, most of them appear to be second or third world countries. Most of the first world countries do not require military service. There are some exceptions. France, Greece, a few exceptions. But for the most part, they're second and third world countries. Australia does not require it either.
It's the mark of
a first world country that we're
is
so good.
You don't require anything of your citizens.
Yeah, we're so rich. We've been able to build our own military that we don't have to require our citizens, and so we give them extra freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But in the poor countries, they don't have resources to put into the military, so they need all the help they can get.
Yeah.
But it needs to expand, and obviously this has to do with more than just military. I think that it's just military service. It's one thing, but the way Dale's talking about it is it's expanded to national all forms service. Of service, just a national service act.
And that's what that's how it was proposed to Congress. It wasn't, from my understanding, a military decree as much as it was national service.
And then how the heck did it not pass? It must have been whoever was president and whoever was controlling Congress at the time must have been different parties.
Well, I think both Democrats and Republicans were against it, because the only time it got as far as a vote, it was 400-2.
Jeez.
So it wasn't even close.
Yeah, it's a great idea. It will never, ever, ever, ever happen because it takes Americans out of their comfort zone. It's just never going to happen.
We don't want to do that.
It puts the kids in the mind of the parent, in their future, in harm's way. It takes away your freedom, which is what this country is all about. There'd be 10% of the population, maybe, that would think it would be great and cool and be excited about it. And 90% would be, it's taking me away from YouTube, man. It's taking me away from all the kick-ass stuff that I get to do. It's taking away my freedom. And they would not be, this country would not handle it well.
No, I don't think so. And especially if you expanded it to, what if it went all the way to your 50s, 55, mm-hmm. which it was. You get the guys that are our age, what would they really say, okay, yeah, I'll do a year? You may think it for a half second, but when you think it through, I think a majority would go, yeah, I'm good.
Great idea, Dale. I 100% agree. but it'll never happen.
Never.
Fortunately not.
All right, coming up next, guess what is back? The Norm and Mary Travel Show.